information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
Well, we exported record amounts of pork and had some very strong beef export numbers in the month of March. And to talk about those numbers and look ahead for us is Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us. Hope you're well.
Yes, thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Again, these were numbers from March, but they were very good export numbers.
Yes, very strong. On the pork side, we saw 38% growth in March, and brings our first quarter numbers up 40% for the first quarter, led by China, Mexico, and Japan specifically. And on the beef side, we saw pretty strong results as well there. We're up 9% for the first quarter, led by Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and Mexico. So it's broad-based growth, which is really, really encouraging. The other thing that should be noted is the variety meat complex on both beef and pork continue to be very strong. Good demand globally for variety meats, led by China, Mexico, and South America. So, yeah, we're quite happy with it, especially considering that this first quarter was right smack dab in the middle of the COVID impact for most of Asia. And despite that, we still saw some pretty darn good numbers.
Do you think those numbers will be able to hold that strong in April?
No, I think the demand is still good. You know, if you look at what's going on, most of Asia, not all of it, but a lot of it, is coming out of the COVID restrictions, the COVID-19 restrictions. Korea, Vietnam, Hong Kong, Taiwan, China, they're all on the other side of this cloud that I like to use as an analogy. Restaurants are reopening. In fact, in Korea, restaurants in certain sectors of the economy are full. And they've only been open for a few weeks. So things are on the rebound in a lot of the parts of Asia. To your question about April, we're putting a caution sign out. I think demand will still be good in Asia. However, I think if you look at Mexico and Latin America, Central South America, they're a few weeks behind the U.S. right now on the COVID impact and the lockdowns. So I think we're going to see the demand slow down, specifically in Mexico and Latin America. The other thing to keep in mind is that the first quarter really did not see any significant impact from the supply chain disruptions with some of the plants being down. We're going to see more of an impact in some of the frozen product in April to some of the key markets. But overall, we're optimistic going forward.
Okay, that kind of leads me to my next question, because I'm sure some people, if you've gone to a grocery store and had trouble finding meat or been limited on meat selection or availability, you're probably saying, and hearing this, you're probably saying, now wait a minute, we can get meat to China or Japan, but we have trouble getting it to our grocery stores here in the U.S. What would your answer be, your response be to someone asking that question?
Well, it's a good question. And the simple answer is that the first quarter, a lot of this product is frozen. It was already in the pipeline before we saw the supply chain disruption. So that's why these numbers look good. And that's why I say, you know, some of the like frozen short plates and frozen variety meats and things like this that were in the freezer, they were already sold and they were already shipping when the supply chain disruption started to happen. So that's part of the reason it looks good in March, but it's also part of the reason that April and May may not look as good, because no doubt, you know, to the extent that there's an impact, it's going to impact both domestic and the international markets. And we'll start to see that, I think, more in April and May. But that being said, it does appear that progress is being made at the plant level. We're hearing reports of more plants reopening or increasing their throughput. So we're optimistic that we're going to see better things going forward in terms of the slaughter capacity utilization.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Along those lines, Dan, have you heard from any of our customers around the world that are seeing the news about you know, these concerns with the supply chain, the packing plants, and some of them closing down or cutting back, having to slow down production. Are you hearing from any of our customers about concerns they have about us being able to supply the meat that they're wanting to buy?
Oh, most definitely. The customer base globally, as it is here in the U.S., is very well informed, and they track it very closely. And it's probably a little more heightened in Asia for the reasons I mentioned before. The Asian side of things, they went through this. They were dealing with the COVID lockdown and production challenges with their own domestic production in Asia back in January, February. And now they're coming out of it, and things are starting to slowly get back to normal. So they're seeing upticks in demand. They're seeing things get better, and they know what they went through. They know we're going through that now. So there's a certain level of concern, yes, but more appreciation for what we're going through. And keep in mind, they also know that we have one of the best production, agriculture production systems in the world. And I think they, one good example would be last week with the president and the administration enforcing the Defense Production Act. I think there was a lot of confidence sort of restored by our international customers when they saw that move. And you know, then they're working individually with the packers that are and the exporters that are supplying them. But I think there's a lot of confidence in the U.S. production supply chain. And while there is concern, I think there's also confidence.
Also probably concern because of the dialogue right now between the U.S. and China and the president's comments about China because of COVID-19 and people wondering about how that's going to impact the trade deal. You've noted that we've seen some strong beef sales in China. Are you concerned about the political aspects of this impacting those sales moving forward?
Yeah, there's always a concern, not only on beef and pork, which both have seen dramatic increases, but I'm sure in the feed grain sector, corn and soybeans as well. So, yeah, there's a concern, but I think in the end, this phase one China deal is very positive deal, not only for beef and pork, but for a lot of other commodities. And I think that there's a level of confidence that this will go forward. It's a good deal for both sides. And keep in mind that the topic of African swine fever has really dropped out of the press since COVID has taken over the headlines, you know, back to February, March here in the U.S., but it's not out of the headlines in China. It's still very much a very impactful issue in China on the pork side. You know, the largest hog herd in the world is in China, and they've lost roughly, I mean, you can argue the number, but 40 to 50% of their pigs have been lost. So translate that into global impact, roughly 20 to 25% of the world's pigs are no longer in existence due to African swine fever. This will have an impact. The supply and demand dynamics are such that you don't have enough red meat protein in the world, beef, pork, poultry, to make up that deficit. So on a supply and demand basis, when we get beyond the emotion of COVID-19, and as I said earlier, a lot of the Asian countries are coming out of that cloud, the reality is that the supply is still short. So that, in essence, means that we're well positioned. The U.S. is well positioned to supply, especially on items like variety meats, where there's not a lot of demand here in the U.S., and items like short plates and things like this that are not particularly high demanded in the U.S., there's going to be a lot of sustained demand for products like this throughout the world, but especially in Asia because of this situation.
And it would seem that the U.S.-Japan trade deal is doing well.
Yes, that has been a home run. I said this last year when the deal was finalized, and I'll stand by my comments that there is no deal bigger than a Japan-U.S. ag agreement as it relates to our part of the agricultural part of the deal. It got us on a level playing field with Australia, with Canada, with Mexico, with other competitors. We're not at a 13% duty disadvantage like we were a year ago. So that's all we ask. Get us on a level playing field, and the U.S. will compete. And we're starting to see that. We're starting to see increased share. We're gaining share back on the beef side. Same thing on the pork side. So that has not only was it a great deal, but we're already seeing the benefits through three quarters or three 3 months of the fiscal year's reporting and statistics. So, yes, we're very excited about that development.
All right, Dan, always good to talk with you. Thanks for your time. Take care.
Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated.
Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.